Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. My feelings is that you have come out on a Wednesday night and you ought to run smack into a blessing. Amen. Something that you can carry away from here. And I have one message tonight. I've got a lot of sub-messages, but there is one overall theme that I'm going to hit you with, and you'll see it, and that's one that you should be able to take with you. Go to 2 Timothy, if you would. 2 Timothy is one of my favorites, because it's better than 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service. Now, he's equating the message he wants to give here to soldiers. And you'll see this theme a lot in the Bible is soldiers, mighty men. It's really all through the Old Testament about mighty men. And I get the idea that that's the way God wants his church to be. He says right here, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. If he wanted us to be weaklings, he wouldn't have said, be strong. So he has chosen you for the purpose of, you know, his purposes. I don't know exactly what they are specifically. But God's got a purpose for you. And it's a good purpose. But it does not take a zero to do it. He wants his people strong in the Lord. So this will be one little step in getting you to think good soldier, that you're to be a good soldier. Why do I keep saying that? Because most Christians drift over into the, well, I'm just not really important in the kingdom. Somebody else is important, but not me. And that's not the way it is, that he wants each of us to be good soldiers. In fact, he says that we are supposed to always triumph in Christ. Well, he didn't mean that. He shouldn't have said it. That in the book, it says that we always triumph in Christ. Is anybody here been always triumphing? Don't raise your hand, because, I know we mess up and we miss it, but that is the will of God, for us to always triumph in Christ. Got to keep that on there. Okay, now he says some mighty good things about soldiers. He says in Matthew 5 that you are the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth. Glory to God. The light, not a light, but the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. But now there's a little caveat to each one of the good things that he says about us. He says, you're the light of the world, but be careful that you let your light so shine. Don't hide it under a bushel, whatever translation you're looking at. Don't hide your light. So the light of the world can hide their light. And if the light is hidden, it's not shining, at least not out to where it can do some good. Oh, well, hallelujah, let's get off of the light thing. Let's go over to the salt of the earth. Well, he says there that, but the salt can lose its savor or saltness. And then it's not good for anything but just to throw it out and men walk on it. What about this good soldier thing? Well, Joel 3:9, don't turn there, but it says that, wake up the mighty men. What are the mighty men doing asleep? Why should they have to be waked up? They're snoozing. So he says good things about us, but I'm speaking tonight about a continual duty that he has for the mighty men. Call it Homework for Soldiers. That's a wonderful title for this message. Homework for Soldiers. Don't you just love homework? No, you don't. In fact, I remember back in the olden days, we had homework back when I went to school. And especially on Fridays, my goodness, I don't want to do homework on Friday night, so you put it off. But you know what? Sunday always came. And so here you're facing it. You've been dreading it all weekend, and now you got to do something. We did our homework, too. Now I hear that kids, if they have homework, they don't bother. But maybe that's just my grandkids. Anyway, we had to do it, or I thought we did. And so I'd put it off, you know, mess up my weekend because I dread it all weekend. And then when I got to it and finally said, all right, you got to do it, it's time, it wasn't all that bad. Is this what I've been dreading? It was the dreading that was worse than the homework. So I am assigning you, I'm not assigning you nothing, but God has given us the privilege of homework for soldiers. And how long is this going to last? The rest of your life here on earth, if we do it right. If we're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to do homework. Now, I don't foresee backsliding. I know it exists, but I don't think I'm going to backslide. I think most of you that come out on Wednesday night, inclement weather, all that, you're probably not big backsliding potential. But all he's got to do, the devil has to do, is just water down our pathway a little bit. Get us to thinking less than, I am a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And just settle for a little mediocre, humdrum life that's really not accomplishing much of anything. In fact, Corinthians talks about, I am amazed that you guys are settling down to functioning as mere men. We're not supposed to be mere men. We are good soldiers of Jesus Christ, called for His purposes, in love with Him, running after God, and finding, but ever being continually, increasingly satisfied with Him. And then that just feeds your hunger more to where you run a little faster, dig a little deeper. So we're not looking about backsliding, but the devil knows that a very subtle weapon he has is just crippling the effectiveness of the church. If he can get us to thinking other than what his word says, then we will just water down, be content to be a mere man. Jesus made it very clear that we are to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out the devils, be the light of the world, be the salt of the earth. And yet he has these little warnings. Now watch out, because the salt can lose its savor. Okay, so what's the solution? Hallelujah, he has a solution. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. And for this reason, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Is there a gift of God in you? Well, I have one and Janet has one. Okay. Did anybody else feel the need to say amen right then? All right. Do you have a gift of God?
Yes.
Okay, let's get bold now. This is a bold sermon. If you enter in, it won't scare me. Might scare me if you don't enter in. And for this reason, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So Timothy had a gift of God in him. I have a gift of God in me. You got a gift of God in you. If Timothy needed to do it, I need to do it. You need to do it to stay on that cutting edge of walking with Jesus, being what He wants me to be, a good soldier. That, okay, now, stirring up, and we're going to get into that. Let's see, let me see my time. Okay. This stirring up is something that will get me back up on a level where I am useful to the kingdom. If I don't do it, I'm going to sink down in life. There's plenty of life going on to drag us down to where if I don't stir, then life wins. Just to make us second-class Christians. So it's about stirring up, keeping it fresh. This is maintenance for the long haul. I mean, we're not in this for the week, for the month. We're in this to win the game, which is the long haul. If I'm going to win on the long haul, I'm going to have to be one that will stir myself up. How often? Every time I need stirring, which is often. Okay, now the stir is mixing components that and exciting them to a higher energy level. Okay, he tells us in Hebrews that the word preached, the powerful, mighty word of God preached, did not profit a particular group that it went to because they didn't mix faith with it. They said, oh, that's a good sermon. That's nice. Wouldn't that be nice if that was working? But it did not accomplish anything for that people because they didn't mix something that they had to offer. Mix your faith with the word preached. In fact, you can do that tonight. You can say, I'm going to hear what he's saying and I'm going to mix faith with it and do it. And never be the same. Or I'm going to sit through this. I'm going to make it through, and I'll be able to hold out till Sunday where I can hear another sermon. All right, there's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You're going to be dragging down. So we're mixing something to create or to bring us to a higher energy level. Mix faith with the gifts of the Spirit, and they can do wonders. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit. But if I don't mix faith with them, they become just a teaching. Just a, oh yeah, I know about that. Or even truth. Hear the truth. Don't mix any faith with it. It's not going to really affect me too much at all. Our purpose. We have a purpose. Nothing excites me any more than to have a purpose. If I don't have a purpose, I sit. I lie down. I need a purpose. So if I have purpose and mix faith with it to bring that about, it creates desire, which is a driving, strong thing. I like to have a desire for something good. Amen. So it's stirring up to these things, hallelujah, that creates energy. Now, in general, look back here in 1 Timothy 1, verse 6, "For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh or stir up the gift of God which is in you, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of discipline." When I find myself not pressing into verse 7 and receiving that as the truth, when I start getting a spirit of fear or timidity about anything, then it's time for me to bounce back to verse 6. Okay, stir it up. Stir up the spirit that's within you. What spirit? It's the spirit of God, but it's got to be stirred. Now, it's interesting, too, that, you could think, well, that's Pastor Mark's job to stir us up. Well, somewhat, but apparently Paul was not able to stir Timothy up. He said, you stir yourself up. So we all have an effect on each other, but basically it's going to be a homework for you and you and you and you. To stir myself up where Jesus and His purposes are number one. Amen. And everything else will fall in place. Hallelujah. So, we're arousing a potential that's within us. Generally, there is enormous firepower within us. We're children of the Most High. We got the life of God in us. It has not gotten any less powerful than it was when He was carrying it around. We have that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in us. And so we've got the spirit of power within us. 1 Timothy says that I have given you. God has given us the spirit of power and the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. So I have this within, but I also have the ability to sleep on it. And that's my part. Is don't do that. Wake it up. Let it do what it can do. Stir it up. Now, we have this enormous firepower. He calls it the blessing. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. So I have the blessing of the Lord upon me. What is it? Everything in the world that you need and could desire is on you. But I can also let it sleep and go neutral. That I have to keep it awake. I have to keep it coming my way. I have to keep it going out of me. Stir it up. Hallelujah. So, he says some tremendous things about Luke 10:19 says you're to walk on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Oh, come on, Jesus, you didn't mean that. He said it. That His church is supposed to walk upon all the power of the enemy. And too much of the time, it's the other way around. It's the serpents and scorpions walking over us because we're not stirred up, have not stirred up that spirit within. It is so important how we see ourselves. If I see myself a grasshopper, I will be a grasshopper. If I see myself a zero, I will be a zero. I've got to get a better vision of myself. The best one is what he says. He says some pretty good stuff about us. So I've got to stir that up, that we have power over all the power of the enemy. Now, Psalms 82 says, stir up your strength. Stir it up. We got the strength. We got to stir it up. Okay, now we're going to go into, all right, how do you stir up? Well, I've only got about 8 or 9 ways here, and we won't get to all of them, but we'll start. 2 Peter 3:1. This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Now, we have to be reminded of what God says. And so that's where we come into each other to let me remind you of what God has said, lest you start telling me what you're seeing. Because usually we're seeing something quite different from what God has said. So Peter says, all right, guys, I've got to remind you. I'll come and write a second letter to you to remind you just who you are. That you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. But I have to stir it up by way of remembrance. The devil likes to get us to forget what God has said. You know, it's kind of like he says in one place that we can look at ourselves in the mirror and then go away and forget what we looked like. Get to thinking we look better than we really do. But so we remind ourselves. That's why we have a Bible that's written out, so we can go back and, did he really say that? Did he really say that we have power over all the power of the enemy? Oh, I can't imagine. We'll go back and look. It's in there. He said that. Jesus did not talk lightly. If he said it, he meant it. So the first thing is by remembrance. I go back and look at the scriptures that meant much to me. I remember that back in 1967 that God did a mighty, mighty change in Janet and myself. Well, hallelujah. That's a long time back. Hadn't he done anything? Oh, yeah. But, you know, there are monumental changes in our life. And the only way I can look back and see that that monumental change happened was that God sent a word. Amen. A special word for us, and it changed our life. Yes. Totally. Yes. And it's still changing it. Glory. Amen. Yeah, we're still moving on. Yes. Hallelujah. But it's his word. There's been many words since then that have been big changes, not usually life changes like that one was, but that's all it takes from God is a word. In fact, that's the way he brings about every change. He sends a word and heals, sends a word and changes, sends a word and changes my outlook. So number one is by remembering the word. It'll make you alive again, stirring up the spirit within you. All right, now I want to get to number two here is a primary way in Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up, that's stirring up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, this is okay to bring this because I ran it by Vicki last Saturday and she said it was okay. So, all right, if it's not okay, it's her fault. This is the word of the Lord. He said, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, if anybody doesn't really, if you want to elaborate on it, means praying in tongues. This is something he's given us to stir ourselves up. And much of the church is anti this. So you know what? This is one area they are never getting stirred up in. The Lord gave me a real, not a correction, because I wasn't against it, but in a quiet time this week, he just really told me that, now where does it say in my word about building up yourself on your most holy faith? Does it talk about, like in Corinthians, edifying oneself? Yeah, it's in there. Then what he really said to me was, if it's in there, that is my word, and you don't have any right to judge it by how you feel or how it's making, you know, by any other thing than, did I say it? He said it. So whether I understand how that works or not really doesn't matter anything at all. Because I don't have the right to judge God according to the way I feel about something or what I think. Well, this is what I think. That doesn't matter. It's what he thinks that matters. And he said that I pray out mysteries when I am praying in the Holy Ghost. Whether I ever know what the mysteries are or not, it must be valid because God doesn't do invalid stuff. No useless stuff. So I need to spend much time praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I always had a problem here because it seemed like God would put the wrong people across my path. It was so excited and full of it all and how wonderful this is, and I did a lot of experience on not feeling nothing and thinking, well, maybe I didn't get the same spirit they got. And then I'd go back to the Bible and said, yeah, I asked. He said he's faithful. He gives what you ask for if it's good. So I did that, and so really where it comes down to is I pray in other tongues because he says it's profitable. Amen. Yeah. Well, what if I don't feel good afterwards? What does that have to do with anything? Now, I'm not a total zero. I mean, I do feel stuff, but I have had more than seemed like a lot of the exuberant people passed my pathway that seemed to get a whole lot more out of it than I did. Well, that's past now. Now I'm back on the line of, all right, God, you said it, that's enough. And reaping the benefits, hallelujah. And there are benefits. I build myself up on my most holy faith. How? Just like he said to, praying in the Holy Ghost. I pray mysteries. This builds me up, he said. Okay, that's number two, is praying in the Holy Ghost will stir up your spirit. Okay, number three, Ephesians 5. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus. So here is a way to stir up yourself is talk to yourself. Nothing like talking to yourself. Get you off of lousy thinking, wrong thinking, kind of a, what? What are you thinking? God said it's this way. What are you thinking way out there for? Oh, yeah. God said you're healed. Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. What are you doing playing sick? Well, I needed a day off from work. Well, just take a day off, but don't say you're sick. Claim what God says. Making melody in your heart. This will stir you up. If you don't, your heart can get kind of dull. Can start not staying where it ought to be and thinking wrong things. What are we doing when we're speaking to ourselves? Well, one thing is reminding ourselves that my God is a good God. How good is He? Oh, He's better than anything you can come up with. He's good. He's the very incarnation of good. Well, what about when bad things? It wasn't God. God is good. God is good to me. Reminding Him of His goodness, but also of His provisions. Now, Father, I thank You that I am whole in You. W-H-O-L-E. I thank You, Lord God, whether I appear that way or not, I am so whole, I am so healed, I am so filled, I am so free, simply because You said I was. It must be right. So I can speak things that maybe are not yet, but if I am speaking them, they will become. And I can stir myself up this way by speaking these good things. I am who He says I am. Well, I don't know. Yeah, you better know. I am whatever He says. God is not a man that He should lie. So, if the things He says don't look right, then my looker is wrong. That God is right, God is good, and God is good to me. And so, speaking to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, I am speaking the good things that I read in the Bible and say, wow, that's me. That's us. When it looks like it, when it doesn't look like it, it's still us. And we start approaching the level of our confession. Another thing happened this week during that quiet time. If you spend time being quiet with God, and He'll talk to you. He just showed me what a spirit of humility was. I've heard this and heard stuff like it, but when I am agreeing with Him, that is as humble as I can get. When I am trying to explain why I'm not up to what He says about me, that's not humble. A spirit of humility says God is right. Period. Praise God. Now, 1 Timothy, well, we're close there, so might as well go to that. First Timothy chapter 4. Verse 8. For bodily exercise is only of just a little bit of profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise of the present life and also for the life to come. I did not start in the right place. It says in verse 7, have nothing to do with worldly fables. On the other hand, exercise yourself unto godliness. So here is a way to stir up that spirit within is exercise yourself on what God says. If I don't, I become a hearer only and not a doer. And that man's not going to get anything from God, that I've got to hear and then obey. So, spiritual exercise, stretch, hallelujah. Exercising unto godliness, this will stir you up. Otherwise, I drift back into my old comfort zone and get bored and quit and think, well, I don't know, I don't feel spiritual anymore. Well, we have to press. Paul had to press. He said, I press for the mark, the high mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I push for it. So staying a good soldier is not the easy pathway. It's one that I've got to do. I have to keep doing it. I have to keep myself awake. And then when I'm stretching, I can see areas that did not appear before. We call it fallow ground. Fallow ground, that's ground that belongs to me, but I didn't see it, and so I haven't been doing anything with it. Hadn't been working it because I didn't know it was there. But when I see some fallow ground in my life, I think, wow, I can get some fruit out of that ground. And so it excited Paul. That did. He saw some place he wanted to go so he could get some fruit there. I know a missionary that went all over the place and never saw him get as excited as when he had the opportunity to go to some place he had never been before. I mean, he'd start salivating, just, wow. But we don't have to do that, but to see an area that I haven't seen and I can go get some fruit there, start sowing into it and doing something with it, glory to God, it'll make you fresh within. Fresh revelation from God, that will do wonders for you. Well, you think, well, God's got to do that. You can't just go get a revelation. God gives revelation to people who position themselves for it. Fill yourself up with the Word of God. God will give you a revelation in that particular area. He will cause you to see things you just didn't see. It'll excite you. Revelation. Hearing the anointed word. That's another one. I left giving the numbers out a good while ago, so I don't know what number that is. Anyway, hearing the anointed word in 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 18, for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So I've got the power of God right here if I'll just speak it. Speak the word of the cross. Verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. So expect, you come to church to hear the preached word of God and to be set on fire by it. He sends his word and heals. I've already talked about that. Glory to God. Okay, let's see if we've got time for the last one. No, we don't. It's all right.